It is good to be here. Sister Beeler asked me before church, she says, "Are you nervous?" I thought, "Are you kidding?" I'm always nervous. And so I do appreciate your prayers. We do thank the church for sponsoring this and inviting us to come. And it's certainly a blessing to see this crowd here too, and to see the full like this. And so many young people, and we thank the church for having this. We do ask for your prayers for as we preach this morning. I told Brother Dan, my notes are a mess. This is bad for me to listen to several preachers, and then you scribble all over and things and thoughts go through your head. So you pray for us. Pray for our grandson Evan. He's home. He was in the hospital for a couple days. And he has some intestinal problems. We don't know what it is. They're doing some tests. I appreciate your prayers for him. If you have your Bibles this afternoon, we invite you to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. We're going to try and read a bunch of verses here, but for the sake of time, we'll just kind of look at what Joshua is telling them here. In verse 2, it says there of Joshua 24, it says, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." So God is speaking to them. And he's using Joshua here to speak to the people. In verse 4, he says, "I gave unto Isaac and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt." And then verse 5, he says, "I sent Moses and also Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, in the last part of that, he says, "And I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt." And he's reminding them of all the things that the God of heaven has done for them. And then in verse 14 here, these familiar verses, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Our main thought really comes from verse 14 here. The first part, "Now therefore fear the Lord." If you put titles on your notes or if you title a message, I've scribbled mine out about three times. And I've come up with, "Are you worshiping Christ, Jesus, the righteous judge?" And I need to put something on here. That's all right. Are you serving Christ, Jesus, the righteous judge? In this verse here, the key words that I was looking at when the Lord burdened me with this thought was, fear the Lord. And I'm afraid that we are in a day when we don't fear the Lord like we used to or like we ought to. And certainly the Bible says that there is no fear of God before their eyes in Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. And we live in a world where there is no fear of God anymore. There was a time when church buildings didn't even have to be locked. And now not only have to be locked, but we have people that are watching the door with guns. I mean, that's the world that we live in. We live in a world that does not fear God. And I thought, what is the reason that they don't fear God? And I believe it's because most people have made up a false God in their mind. They've made up a very weak God. And they don't see Jesus Christ as also, we heard so greatly about the pictures of him as our Lord and Savior. And the messages, I just enjoyed them so much. I mean, we've been blessed with some tremendous messages here during this conference. But I don't think people see him as that righteous judge. They don't fear Jesus Christ. There is no fear of him before their eyes. They've made up a weak God in their mind. They serve the God they have made up, a weak God who does nothing, who can't save sinners without their help. And that's the God of this world. Most people think this way. I was trying to analyze it in my mind. I struggle with this. But they think this way. There's God the Father. We know the triune God. There's God the Father. And they look at it this like, he's that scary old God of the Old Testament. You know, he's the one that did all those things, in the Old Testament. And then there's the God of the New Testament, Jesus Christ. And Jesus came, and he's the God of the New Testament. He changed everything. That's what people think. That's what the lie that the devil has put out to the world, that he's this, the loving son who came. You know, the old man was mean, and the loving son came and did everything different. And then the Holy Spirit, most people, if you ask him about the Holy Spirit, he's this ghost thingy that we really don't understand. You know, and that's really what the world's image of God is. And the devil has done a good job of painting that picture. I struggled with whether to bring a picture. I've got it, and I've decided that I'm not going to show it. I'm not going to give any more credence to the artist painting of the guy who painted a hippie Jesus years ago. But you see it everywhere. This man by the name of well, I got to look up his name here. So Warner Salmon was born in the late 1800s. And in 1920s, he did a chalk drawing. He had the paper he had to put out, and so he did a chalk drawing. And then in 1940, someone told him, you got to do an oil painting of that. And so he did an oil painting of it, and then basically it's the long-haired, you know, blue-eyed hippie Jesus. And the printing company that copyrighted that, they must have been marketing geniuses. Now, the devil was certainly helping them, because that's the God of our fathers today. That's the God that permeated, you know, billboards and everything from funeral home literature to everything, is that picture that people think. And that's the picture that they see of Jesus, this weak, soft man that's never going to bring judgment to this earth. And that's, you know, when I think of this verse, he says, look at this verse. He says, now therefore fear the Lord. Who is the Lord? And he says, fear him. Fear the Lord. Well, first of all, so that's that old God Testament, you know, the God the Father. Oh, I think it's Jesus Christ. And serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. Well, so that's idol worship. Well, if you've made up a god in your mind, that's an idol. It's a false god. If you've made up an image. And what did Jesus say? He says, I and my Father are one. Most people don't even think of Christ as being there at creation. They don't even think of that. They don't think of him as the creator. I went through this, and I really believe that after reading through and studying this, that Jesus Christ was the one that said, let there be light. That's just my opinion. I believe that he was. He's the creator. And look over in Colossians chapter 1 and just read here. So you know that I'm not giving you things that aren't in the Bible here. In Colossians chapter 1 in verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's Jesus Christ, right? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in earth, and that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body. So it's Jesus Christ. I mean, he's the head of the body. And it tells us there in verse 16 that, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and on earth. I mean, he's the creator. Amen. Jesus Christ is. And so when Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one, you can go back to Genesis chapter 1, and you can look at it, and it says, in the beginning, God, that's Elohim, that's a plural. That's a plural of more than two. That is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was there. And in verse 26 of that chapter, it says, and God said, let us, Jesus Christ, let us make man in our own image. And so we see that Jesus Christ was there. And I believe he's the creator. But today, people worship a false god that their parents or their parents' religion or the world has given them, or that they have made up in their mind, not the Jesus that we've heard over the past few messages. Oh, hopefully we see Jesus today. And in John chapter 5, look at this. And this is, to me, when we think of Christ, we have to think of him more than just being the God of the New Testament. He is the God of the Bible. And in John chapter 5, in John chapter 5, in John chapter 5 and verse 36, he says, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for works that the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me, and ye have neither heard his voice in any time, nor seen his shape. And I read that and I thought, wait a minute. Neither heard his voice at any time. Jesus said, you've never heard his voice at any time. And I thought, well, maybe that's their saying that they haven't been saved and they haven't heard his voice. They haven't. And then I thought, no, he's saying at any time. They haven't heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And then I thought, wait a minute. Didn't Moses speak with him, the Father? Didn't Moses see his hindermost parts? And then I thought, or was it Christ? Or was it Christ? And then I look over at me with John chapter 8. In John chapter 8 and verse 53. In John chapter 8 and verse 53. Here Jesus is speaking with the Jews and he says, art thou greater than, or the Jews are saying, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets, which are dead, whom thou makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye know not him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. You know, when they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane there, and they asked him who he was, if he was Jesus of Nazareth, you know, they asked him, and he says, I am. And when he said that, what happened? They fell backwards. And here he says, before Abraham was, I am. Well, when Moses was talking to the burning bush, and he was talking to God, and God was saying, who do I say sent me? He said, I am that I am. Was that Jesus Christ? Brother Dan said, and he read there in some places in the New Testament, he's God. Jesus is God. He's, you know, God in the flesh. And he made that such a wonderful picture of our Lord and Savior. And Jesus Christ is not only God in the flesh, but he is also God, the righteous judge. He's the righteous judge. And fear him. Fear him. Put away the gods which your fathers served. You need to put away that weak-minded God that's not, you know, that's. He's coming back and he's going to stand in judgment. Serve the Lord. He said, we don't think of ourselves, as I said, as idol worship, but we've made up a weak God in our mind, and I'm guilty of that. I see that little flowery picture, you know, and of him, and I sometimes, when I'm praying, I get that out of my head. Yes. That's not my Lord. But it's just permeated out there. Do you really fear the Lord? What he can do to you? His power, his authority, his dominion? Look over in Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, it says, a son honoreth father, and a servant his master. If I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Where is my fear? Oh, we need to fear the Lord too. We need to fear Jesus Christ. I mean, he is not only our Lord and Savior, but he is our righteous judge. If you're a child of God, fear chastisement. Jesus Christ is the same God, the God of Moses that opened up the Red Sea and closed it upon the Egyptians, the same God who brought the plagues and the death angel, the God of Elijah that caused a 3.5-year drought, the God of Abraham, as Jesus said himself, that he saw his day. You know, when we think about fear, there's been times in my life that I trembled at the thought of angering God. We ought to feel that way. Do we fear him? I remember a story that Brother Sinek told about, you know, why he wasn't faithful to church, you know, when he had three little kids and he was first saved, and him and his wife were going to, you know, Grace Baptist Church in Warren, and Eugene Clark was his pastor. And Brother Eugene Clark came to his house because he wasn't faithful to church. And he just said, you know, Bill, you're not being faithful to church, you know. And so Brother Sinek started giving this excuse of why he wasn't faithful to church. You know, he says, you know, it's hard, you know. We come to church, we got these three little kids, these little brats, you know, and they won't be quiet and they won't sit still. And so he's basically using his children as the excuse for not going to church. And so in the wisdom that God gave Eugene Clark at that time, Eugene Clark said to him after he got done giving all excuses, he says, well, let's get on our knees here, Bill. And he gets Bill down on his knees and he says, "Let's pray that the Lord will remove the hindrances in your life." And Bill Sinek said, "Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa." Because he knew what he was doing. He was using his children as an excuse not to go to church. "I'm not going to pray that prayer." God could take him. If you really believe who God is.
That's right.
If you really fear him, he could take your children away. What excuse are you using? I asked Brother Harold Harvey one time, you know, I got these things, people, you know, I know I'm stupid, but when I first, you know, surrendered to preach, I got bombarded with books. You know, everybody said, "Man, this guy needs to study," you know. So everybody gave me books, you know. I could never read all the books I have been given. But I got a bunch of things, and I began to look at them, and there was one preacher that had wrote a whole lot of these pamphlets, and I've never heard of the man. And so I was at a conference, you know, and I said to Brother Harvey, "I've never heard of this guy, and I don't see him anywhere, and I don't know, you know, I don't know anything about him." And Brother Harvey just said, "God killed him." And I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "Yeah, he was a preacher in such and such state, and he cheated on his wife, and God killed him." That was it. And I thought, well, that's probably the truth. Do you believe the God of heaven? Do you believe Jesus Christ? The people said, "No, not Jesus. We'd never do that. He would never do such a thing." You know, I saw this thing, I don't know, maybe it was even a year ago, time gets away from me, about spontaneous human combustion. Spontaneous human combustion, you know, and I thought, what is they? Are they, you know, I'm my grandson, Evan, you know, he's a reincarnate of me. I'm just Mr. Into everything curious. When they talked about spontaneous human combustion, I was all, whew, I got to listen to this. And so they talked about this doctor that died in 1966. And Dr. John Irving Bentley, if you want to look it up. And he died in 1966. Cause of death, spontaneous human combustion. That had to kill him to write that down because they tried to figure every way that they could not to, you know, to give an explanation of death on a death certificate of spontaneous human combustion. This doctor was like in his 90s. And the meter man, and if you're old enough like me, the meter man used to come into your house and they used to actually have keys to people's house, or they just walked in the house, walked in your basement and read your meter. You know, that's not the days we live in. But I remember that as a child growing up, the meter reader would come in and just go in the house and read the water meter or whatever. And he would just knock at the back door and go in, "Meter man," and just walk in and go read the meter in the basement and walk back out. Well, the meter man went in to read the doctor Bentley's meter in the basement. And he went down to the basement and he got down to the basement and he smelt a strange smell. There was the odor of smoke. And there was a pile of ash about, you know, a foot tall on the floor in the basement. And he saw that and he looked up and there was a hole in the floor. So he got a panic and he went upstairs and he went into the bathroom and the house was kind of filled with this funny smell and there was no fire anywhere. But he went in the bathroom and that's what he found. What he found was just the leg of the doctor. In front of the toilet there, a big old hole in the floor and his walker sitting on top of it. Now, I've been around fires a lot in my life, insurance fires. I actually spent time in a house fire with an expert cause and origin man back in Saginaw, Michigan years ago, and I learned a lot about fires of automobiles, and all you got to do is be around my son a little bit to know that there's fire hazard if you're around him. But anyway, here's this doctor's bathroom floor, a hole burnt right through it. I think God left just enough of him so there was no question that it was him. And every bit of him is gone except for that leg and that foot. There's nothing else burnt in that bathroom. And there in the hole, burnt even through the floor and the part way through the joist. That's a hot fire during that. And there's his aluminum walker with rubber feet sitting on it. And anybody knows anything about aluminum? It's a very low melting metal. That walker was fine, sitting right there with the rubber soles on it. God killed him. I don't know why, but God killed him. Do we serve and realize that that's the God that we serve, Jesus Christ? Not only our Lord and Savior, but it talks about the wrath of God in the Bible. It talks about chastisement. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. God sent fire to these people because they did what? Murmur and complain. You know what? When we open our mouth and start to murmur and complain about anything spiritual that God has done or not doing, we ought to tremble. God, just for murmuring and complaining, burn up a bunch of his people. For murmuring and complaining. How often do we do that? Oh, why God? Why is this? Or, you know, we're angry about this or we're upset about that. Oh, God sent. And then in Numbers chapter 16, in verse 30, it says, "But if the Lord make a new thing and open, and the earth open her mouth." Well, that was a new thing. Not new today. You go down to Florida, they call them sinkholes. But a few years ago, there was a guy in his bed in Florida, and the earth opened up and swallowed up the whole house and the guy in his bed, and they never got him out. They just buried him in that hole. How did that happen? Was that just, you know, just the guy just accidentally built his house over a sinkhole? Or did God allow it? Because God could have shored it up and kept him safe. In Numbers chapter 16, it tells us there, it came to pass in verse 31. You know, it tells us in the New Testament, we know that he said, even the wind and the waves obey him. Does Jesus Christ not control every facet of this life? You think about that tidal wave in the Indian Ocean a few years back. It killed 130,000 people. Was it just an accident? There are no accidents. God permitted it to happen. Who's God? Jesus Christ. Who allowed it? Jesus Christ. You can say what you want about it. And then Numbers chapter 16, verse 35, it says, "And there came out fire from the Lord and consumed 250 men." Those are the men of Korah. Is that just that Old Testament scary God that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ? Or are they one and the same? Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." But he said, "That's not the Christ I know." Jesus would never do that. He is not the same God of the Old Testament. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, he's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. If he ever changed, he's not God. If he could even improve, he's not God. You know, some people say, you know, a few years ago, my brother was showing me, and he says, "I love these pictures here." You know what it was? It was a picture of the laughing Jesus. And I thought, there's another false God. You know, you got the one the guy painted in 1940 that became the God of so many people through the 50s, 60s, and 70s. You know, even today, the hippie Jesus in their mind. And then the laughing Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "Take heed to yourselves lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God." And then in verse 24 it says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Oh, we don't want to think of Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, do we? In Revelation chapter 1, here's a picture. See if this description that you read matches the description that the devil has done so masterfully painting in the world of what Christ is like. Because he's tried to put out that lie. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13, it says here, it says, "In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like under the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with the paps of a golden girdle. His head of his hairs were white as wool, and as white as snow." You don't see those kind of picture paintings, do you? "And his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet were as fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength, too bright to look at." You know, Brother Luke said these words when the Lord saved him. He said, "I didn't see, you know, Jesus. I beheld his glory." Oh, that was good. You know, because I remember Brother Titus years ago, this woman said, "You know what, I died or I almost died, and you know what, Jesus was right at the foot of my bed." And Brother Titus said, he said to her, not that Brother Titus, my Brother Titus that was Don Titus, so you get that. Some of you people don't know when I say Brother Titus. I know you don't know my Brother Titus that was my pastor, but that was his uncle. And he said, "Well, how do you know that it was Jesus?" And he said, "Because he looked just like the pictures that I..." I mean, that right there tells you that, you know, that was a dream, because that's not what Jesus looks like. And but here it says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Oh, we know when the Lord saves your soul, that's where you end up, in a humbled place. When you begin to really see Jesus, when you begin to see who he is, what he's done. I fell at his feet as dead. And then here in verse 18 it says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Oh, we heard that. Not only did he come and die, but he rose again. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. Why does he have the keys of death and hell? Because he's Jesus Christ, the righteous judge. In Revelation chapter 19, look at this. It says, it described much the same. In verse 10, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou, and then verse 10, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True and Righteous. He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written, which no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. A vesture dipped in blood, clothed with that. And the armies which follow in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, the righteous judge. You know, you ever wonder sometimes, you know, why children, you know, children, they're always children. They're always going to misbehave. That's why we have to train them, teach them. But why sometimes are children so hard to teach? It's because they don't have fear. Fear. I mean, when I thought about this message, and I thought, you know, in Malachi, he says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant is master. If I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? You know what kept me from a lot of things as a teenager was the fear of my dad. It did. My dad had 11 o'clock curfew, and I'm telling you what, if I was 5 minutes past that curfew coming home, I'd shut that car off and coast down the road and hope I could coast into the driveway. I feared my dad. Will we fear the Lord that way? I mean, when we're involved in the sin of our eyes or the sin of this flesh, do we ever tremble? I mean, I trembled coming in the house. I mean, if I was late from our curfew, man, I was shaking going in there, afraid my dad's going to find me coming in late. Do we fear the Lord? And turn with me over to Psalms chapter 50. I believe... The devil has done a masterful job of painting a picture of a weak Jesus. In Psalms chapter 50 and verse 21, I believe that this is why there's no fear of God before their eyes. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. You know, that's what we do. We see that weak man and we think that's what he's like us. He's weak. No, he's not. I mean, it's amazing. He was God in the flesh, and Dan brought a wonderful picture of that. But the world thinks he's just like them, weak in every way. But thou, things I kept silent, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. Then he says, but I will reprove thee, and I will set them in order before thine eyes. Oh, you know, you ever watch politics? I mean, I watch way too much politics. I'll admit that. Anybody that follows my Facebook page has probably already unfriended me. But you see what they do. What do? They paint a picture of their opponent. You know, I mean, I was so mad at Donald Trump when he called Ted Lying Ted. And I thought, you know, people believe Lying Ted without knowing anything about whether he lied or not. But it's just put it out there. Just put it out there and people believe it. Well, the devil's done that. Put it out there about Jesus and people believe it. Over and over and over. He started back in Genesis chapter 3. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Here. The devil is the master of telling falsehoods about Christ. Painting a picture of a weak God that will overlook sin, that will never punish anybody for the sin or chastise them. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, God has said, Shall ye not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall she touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. God's not going to do that. Not that loving Jesus. God's not going to do that. The devil started it then, painting a picture, literally, of a weak God, a man like God who cannot save a soul. And there's whole religions based upon Arminianism that God needs their help. He can't do it. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't worship the God of heaven. They don't worship the God that we've heard about. They don't worship Jesus Christ that we've heard about here. I think about the things that I've heard here just in, you know, my pastor, and I love him. I'm thankful God gave me Brother Austin as a pastor. He says, basically, I kind of, paraphrase what he said, but are we contributing to a false view of Christ? Because he's talking about the light. And I thought, what do we portray out there? You know, all that the world sees, really, they're not opening their Bible. They're not listening to preaching. They see us. And we're painting the false picture most of the time. Because we don't serve him. And then he talked about a true picture of Christ. And I quoted that exact. He said that. And I thought, that's what we need. A true picture of Christ. Yes. Not the one the devil's painted or the world paints. But we need to be in our Bible and in the churches that we may shine out the light of Christ. Brother Dan's first message there, and he said, oh, how we need to see him. And do we see Jesus in the places of need? We have so many places of need in our own homes. And Brother Luke gave that message, and I beheld his glory. You know, he didn't see a painting of, you know, that a man put out. He beheld the glory of God. Oh, and then Brother Dan just preached that message before lunch about Christ the Savior. Oh, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you know, the world, it says in verse 18, there is of Romans 3, there is no fear of God before their eyes, because they're not worshiping the God of the Bible. They're not worshiping their Jesus Christ. And for the most part, many Christians aren't. They don't think of a wrath to come. All you need to do is go to a funeral today. Everybody's going to heaven. Nobody's going to hell. That's the God that's out there today. That nobody goes to hell. You know, it doesn't matter. You could have been a drunk and you could have been and cheating on your wife and you could die in that. And you know what? You went to heaven. Because, you know, you believed in God. When I think it was Luke that read it. The devils also believe in trouble. That's not salvation.
Right.
Well, look in Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 5 it says, "Have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." Do we really believe that? "And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." You know what? If something happens in your life, it's not for me to judge and say, God brought that in your life, you know, because I don't know. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, when something happens in your life, you need to be asking.
That's right.
You need to be saying, "Lord, Lord, are you showing me something here?" You know, when we chastise our children, how many of you just spank them and then walk away? I probably did that a couple times or so, you know, out of anger. I didn't tell them why. But you know, a good parent, what a good parent does, a good parent sometimes even sit them down before they spank them and say, This is why. Do we ever ask God why and say, Lord, what are you showing me here? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye indeed endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. You know what? It's a dangerous place if you can just go out there and keep sinning and you don't fear God and you just keep going. You might end up like that guy in the front of the toilet, you know. Burn up. But you know, do you fear God? But you go out there and just keep doing it and you say, well, nothing's happening to me. Maybe it's because you're not really a child of God. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? I got in a lot of trouble as a kid. I said, I got a grandson just like me, you know. And I hope that the Lord spares him and keeps him safe, saves his soul, saves his life. All of them. But you know, I got in trouble with this neighbor kid. The neighbor kid, Randy Nelson, he died in prison in Jackson. And that's where I was headed. Because, I mean, he got me in so much. At 10, 11 years old, I was stealing cigarettes from the stores in town. And, you know, and out of people's head, leave them on the dash of their car. That's something he taught me to do. You think, you look at your 10, 11-year-old, and you think they couldn't do something like that? Well, I'll tell you what. The devil get a hold of a kid. They can get into a lot of trouble. Even as a 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old. That was me. And I would get in trouble with this kid, and my dad would say to me, he'd say, Randy, you go home. He lived right next door. And Mark, you get in the house. And I knew it was coming. I was chastisement was coming because I was his son. He never spanked Randy, although you could have in those days. He could have grabbed a hold of Randy and just wailed on him, and no one would have said nothing. Today it'd be a lawsuit. But I was his son. If you're a child of God, there ought to be chastening, and there ought to be a trembling and a fear. I'll tell you, I don't even like talking like sometimes because it's hard for me to. I'm like Luke. I can turn into a blubbering idiot. But when the Lord was calling me to preach, and I was actually rejoicing over the Lord saving my son. I was driving down 10 in between Bay City and Midland. I was just praising the Lord. We had revival service. The Lord had saved my son. And just out of there, all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me and said, I am showing you these truths for nothing. I'm showing you these truths that you know, that you might well preach them. And I began to just tremble. And I said, I can't do that, right out loud. I mean, just me in the car. And I said, I can't do that. And great fear came upon me. I thought, oh, no. I just told the Lord no. And I began to then beg him. I begged him, don't take my children. Don't take my wife. Take me. If you're going to pour out your wrath, do it on me. Month later, found myself in the hospital, 30 years old, on my back, unable to move my legs. That'll give you something to think about. And the Lord was like, okay, I can take you down. But do we believe that we serve a God like that? That's active in our lives? Or is he just off, you know, over there somewhere? Or is he the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who loves his children and will chastise his children? In Psalms chapter 50, we read one verse there. I want you to go back with me and look at some verses, and we'll try and hurry through, wrap this up. In Psalms chapter 50, but unto the wicked, God saith in verse 16, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in my mouth? He's saying this to the wicked. Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. That's where the lost are. There's no fear of God. They don't want to hear the word of God. But where are you at? As a Christian today, do you just not want to hear? You know, Brother Titus, my Brother Titus, Don Titus, he said he came to a point one time before the Lord saved him. He said, I'm not going to open that Bible. I'm not going to read it because that way if I don't know what's in it, God can't hold anything in it against me. Well, that was his wisdom, you know, as a 17, 18-year-old. I just won't read it. That way God can't hold it against me. What is it saying here? Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. Well, we do that, I think. Sometimes God's people, the whole Bible, the whole purpose we read our Bible is just looking for an excuse or a loophole. The Bible says to ask for the old ways. And people say, well, you know, this is the new millennium. This is like 2016. We can't ask for the old ways. We can't live like you did back someday. And then verse 18, it says, when thou sawest the thief, and then thou consentest with him, and hast been a partaker with adulterers. Well, who do you fellowship with? If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, who do you enjoy spending time with? The Bible talks about being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Who do you enjoy spending your time with? Who is your God? It tells who your God is. It tells who it is by who you like to spend. And then verse 19, it says, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. How do you speak away from church? You know, in James it says, a fountain shouldn't bring forth both bitter and sweet. If you can go out here and you can cuss, and you can take the Lord's name in vain, something is wrong. And not tremble, and not fear the God of heaven. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's sons. These things thou hast done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and I will set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, I will tear you in pieces. Does that sound like a soft, loving picture that guy painted? I will tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. If you're here and you're lost, you're headed for a wrath and a hell that is indescribable. If you're here and you're saved, you may be on the verge of chastisement that you would never wish upon anyone in your life. He is the God of salvation. He says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. That's what we want to see. We've seen it already in these messages, the salvation of God. It's not for me, as I said, to judge where you're at, judge the God you serve, but you can in your heart. You can know. Who among us can go a day without sinning or a sinful thought? Joshua in our text, he says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served. You need to put away that false god. Either you serve the God that you have made up in your mind, the one Satan in the world has put there, or you serve the God of heaven, Jesus Christ the Lord, the righteous judge, the one who also came willing to die for your sins, as Dan put so clearly, personal, my sins, laid down his life and took it up again, the God of the Bible. Yes, he is long-suffering and merciful. Oh, I'm so thankful that we serve a God that is long-suffering and merciful. But there is coming a day of judgment and wrath for the lost. God help us to see the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. May we see Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the righteous judge. Brother?
Amen. Stand with me.